Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? Playoffs?
You got barbecue back there? Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Gridiron Jabroni. This is episode 16 of the program. Joe Montana, the Joe Montana episode. Episode 16 of Gridiron Jabroni. Welcome back to another edition. Per usual, I'm the biggest jabroni of them all. Jabroni Kev, I'm your host. And we are in a great weekend. We're entering a great weekend. It's going to be coming out on Friday, Thursday night, Friday morning, whenever you catch this. So welcome to Final Four weekend, WrestleMania weekend, Women's Basketball weekend. Happy Caitlin Clark weekend. All three things are going on this weekend. Men's basketball on Saturday and Monday, I believe. Women's basketball on Sunday, Tuesday. Is that right? Something like that. Something along those lines. Final Four, we'll talk about that in a little bit. As well as WrestleMania, WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, two-day event. We also will be previewing that on this episode today. Let me give you the rundown, guys. We have women's basketball. We have the Final Four. We have the MLB so far. We have Texans looking good and loading up on the offense. I want to talk a little bit of Texans football. And then we'll talk some WrestleMania, maybe preview the WrestleMania 40 card. I haven't really gotten a chance to look at it, so I thought it would be fun to give it a live reaction for the episode, because I know it's, you know, it's officially announced. I know the main events, but I haven't looked at the order. I'm assuming that's the order it's going to be in, so we will look at that, as well as talk some Colorado Rocky, Houston Astro. Slow burn for the Astros. They got it going eventually. The Rockies are looking disappointing, but we'll talk about both teams in the MLB. I know that the draft is coming up this month. I don't think I'm going to have time to cover some NFL draft talk on this episode, but in the upcoming few weeks, expect an episode. Of course, you know we always do the draft preview or the mock draft. I'll probably do one of those the weekend of the mock or of the draft, so probably that Tuesday before the draft comes out, or before the draft starts, I apologize. Final Four basketball, yeah. Men's and women's. The men's is looking kind of predictable. We'll get there. The women's Final Four is looking like a Disney production. It's kind of obvious, like, Caitlin Clark isn't allowed to lose anymore. But if she does lose, they have a lot of backups ready. I've started to kind of get this mindset. I feel like women's college basketball, it's just this season. Maybe it's slowly been changing this and I'm just noticing, but it's becoming a huge money grab. And the target audience, unlike, you know, the NBA and everyone, they do it with the younger, trendier crowd. Women's college basketball is relying solely on divorced men and, like, girl dads. Just dads. Divorced dads, I think, is the only people who really care about women's college basketball, to the fact of, like, sitting at a bar wanting to watch the Iowa game and discussing it, breaking it down. Like, look, if it's on TV, I'm not a hater in the sense of, like, look, I respect the hustle. If it's on, you know, it's on TV, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to debate it. Caitlin Clark is amazing, and I have respect for her. But at the end of the day, the hard reality and the hard truth is, I respect Caitlin Clark and her balling ability. The girl can ball. She's on the same level as Curry when it comes to shooting threes. But respectfully, what happens after college? What has any college, women's college basketball player done? Like, and I get it. There's the pros. There is the pros. And I know what I'm saying is messed up. But remember Brittany Griner? I remember watching Brittany Griner lead Baylor to that undefeated season, the undefeated national championship. A dog. I swear Brittany could be in the NBA. We know what happened with Brittany Griner. Besides the point, and I'm not using Brittany Griner as the standard and the example for all women's basketball players, especially college like stars. Kelsey Plum, the best scorer probably to ever touch the court before Caitlin Clark. Washington, dog, 26 points per game. 2-year contract, $400,000. Playing for Las Vegas. It's not the millions. Like, if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm taking that big three deal because that's probably the most you're going to get. Respectfully, because, look, Kelsey Plum has a shoe deal. But it's an Under Armour shoe deal. Pros and cons. You can get a shoe deal. Go play in the WNBA. Go make your little $100,000, $200,000, and it's cool. But if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm taking that big three contract and I'm getting views there. Because you're competing against men, right? That's what people want to see, respectfully. Because there is a pro league, but these pro players are getting paid nothing compared to what the men are getting paid. Candace Parker from Tennessee, 1 year, $100,000 at Las Vegas. Brianna Stewart from UConn, you know, remember that white girl? $200,000, where she's playing pro right now, $200,000 for a 1 year contract. It's not misogynistic. It's not messed up to say. But after college, women are limited in professional sports. And I'm not saying I agree with it. Why isn't there a professional softball league? Look, I would be down for a pro softball league. But, like, not 162 games. Maybe 20 games. 8 teams. 14 playoff. Give me women's softball. Professional softball on TV, ESPN, Tuesday, Wednesdays. Man, you'll make some money. I'm telling you. I don't know what the WNBA is doing. They can't dunk. And I think that's, like, a really... I'll admit it's a really shitty mindset to have and a really terrible thing to say. But when it's true and they can't dunk, it kind of leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth when it comes to the WNBA. They can't dunk. And I'm not a social reformist podcast, you know? I'm just saying it how I see it. I'm just calling it like I see it. I'm not a gender rights, I'm not a gender equalist podcast, social reformist, revolution podcast, feminist pod. I'm just a dude with a mic who's just saying that y'all aren't getting paid shit. UConn versus Iowa, South Carolina versus NC State. That is the women's Final Four this weekend. Let me tell you something. You can't tell me something's not rigged when Iowa has been going through a gauntlet, quote-unquote gauntlet. Meanwhile, we're forgetting South Carolina is undefeated, and NC State has the chance to make it to the – we'll get there. They have the chance to make it to the finals as well as the men, which is kind of cool. But you can also say the same thing with the women, because UConn and Iowa are, you know, head-to-head. Iowa just beat – LSU in that rematch, the whole dramatic rematch, Caitlin Clark, oh my god, dude, crazy, I caught the highlights, I saw it on Twitter, I'm not hating, it's just, South Carolina's been dogging on these people over here, meanwhile, somehow UConn, Iowa, and LSU, all these good teams got on one side. Meanwhile, South Carolina, look, I was going through this gauntlet, and the media is hyping them up. Meanwhile, South Carolina has been on the easier side of the bracket. They beat North Carolina by 40. They put 70 on Oregon State. They're coasting by on this other side. Undefeated, this undefeated team is on one side of the bracket, coasting. So it's going to be South Carolina versus Iowa because, look, all anyone's talking about right now is Caitlin Clark. UConn's got that one bad white girl. I don't know her name, but I know there's a white girl on there that can – she looks like a Karen, but she balls like a Kobe. But if – and I – look, I'm rooting for UConn, low-key. I like Caitlin Clark, and I don't want to sound like a shitty person, so I'm going to say I'm a Caitlin Clark fan. I don't want to see Iowa lose, but it would be really cool to see UConn win. But we're going to get Iowa versus South Carolina. Caitlin Clark is going to defeat this undefeated South Carolina. They ran the bracket. Ah, this whole setup stage. It's feeling like the WWE, except these girls don't know how to cut a promo. The crown shit was all right. That was cool. That was dramatic. But then he cried afterwards. Come on, man. Come on, man. Andrew Reese, come on, man. Wrestlers don't cry. You had me there. You had me kind of excited rooting for the heel. You're not a heel. You're just a crybaby, man. Caitlin Clark is in the John Cena era right now, trying to win the fans over, the face, kind of the face of the college women's basketball right now, the face of women's basketball, let's be real. She's the John Cena of this whole situation. Meanwhile, South Carolina is like the Undertaker, just kind of doing his own thing, undefeated. Just to help you guys understand the situation going on right now. And look, if UConn ends up winning and beating Iowa, oh, South Carolina wins and you're still going to get that undefeated team. There's no way NC State beats South Carolina. Let's buckle down and get real. There's only like three good teams, maybe five this year in college basketball, in women's college basketball. NC State is like a top 15 team, but they're not top five. And if you're not in the top five, there's a big gap between five and six, brother. NC State's not winning. So you're going to get an undefeated South Carolina. You're either going to get undefeated versus Caitlin Clark or sound like a seal or. You get UConn, the underdog that beat Caitlin Clark that took down Superman versus the undefeated Darth Vader Undertaker in South Carolina. But when Iowa wins, because I'm telling y'all right now, Iowa's going to win it all, and Caitlin Clark is going to be, the media is going to turn Caitlin Clark into Clark Kent. When Iowa wins, let me say that one more time. For all you suckers out there who didn't catch me the first time, listen closely. And I'm only going to say it one more time. When Caitlin Clark wins, the media is going to turn Caitlin Clark into Clark Kent. And it's going to piss me off. Moving on to the men's Final Fours. Talking some real basketball now. Enough jabbing. Enough talking about pop culture. Women's basketball, pop culture. Let's talk some Final Four. First off, why the hell is it in Phoenix? What's in Phoenix? The desert? A cactus? A palm tree? Not even. They don't even have palm trees. Oceanfront property? George Straits? It's the only thing in Phoenix, I would assume, is George's oceanfront property. And drunk college kids. And some sand. But regardless, who am I? What am I, the fucking committee? Such a random city. It's going to be in Phoenix. The two games, you got UConn versus Alabama. the UConn Huskies and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then NC State, the Wolfpack taking on Purdue, the Boilermakers. Let's talk these games. I got some notes for all four teams, to be honest. First off, UConn versus Bama. UConn is in their second straight Final Four and looking for their second straight back-to-back national championship. Not second straight. They're looking for their second straight national championship. First back-to-back since, Villanova, right? UConn is the obvious answer here. UConn is the obvious team that should win this whole thing. NC State kind of has America's heart right now. Alabama looks like they should do it. They should be. They've kind of always been in the – they've always been in third place. Not realistically, but, metaphorically. And then Purdue, this is their last fucking chance. So UConn has all the point pieces. They're at 11.5-point favorites versus Alabama this weekend. And they have been on a roll. On a roll since the Big East tournament. When they played Illinois, last game against Illinois, they won 77-52. The game before that versus San Diego State, 82-52. Game before that, second round of the tournament versus Northwestern, 75-58. And then first round versus Stetson, poor Stetson, their first time ever making it into the tournament. Small little old Stetson got steamrolled. 91-52. UConn has looked indestructible since they entered the tournament. And it's a little scary. It pisses me off a little bit. Who the hell is UConn of all teams to just come around and go back to back? What do they think this is? Women's basketball? And you would think by now somebody would have given them a little hiccup, a little scare at least, a close one. But no, they haven't. Nobody's given them even a fight. Nobody is phasing them. And Alabama might be the team, though. I mean, if anyone has a chance, it's Alabama. But even then, 11.5 points, an 11.5 point underdog before you even hit the court is insane. Reasons for their success is that center, Donovan Klingon. He's averaging 12 points per game and about 7.5 rebounds. But he had 14 blocks in the last three games combined. He's a big man who absolutely dominates the paint. Everyone's scared. Everyone's scared to play the paint. Threes only. If they do want to absolutely steamroll Alabama, I think they'll need Tristan Newton to show up. The man's averaging 15 points per game, 6.7 rebounds per game. Tristan Newton. With 15 points per game, I mean, you expect him to show up. He only had 5 points against Illinois in their last game, but had 20 against Northwestern. He's been hot. He's been cold. It depends if he can show up early. I don't know. I think he's just a part that he's a piece that needs to show up for UConn. Alabama, on the other hand, has been very impressive this tournament. Started the tournament impressive with a win over Grand Canyon. Got back-to-back huge wins over North Carolina and Clemson. Beating Clemson was impressive their last game because, in my opinion, Clemson was a team that was starting to get the hype and attention from everybody. Everyone slowly started let's talk about Clemson. They could be the ones. Alabama shut that down real quick. Going into it, a lot of people said UConn's going to win. Everyone kind of just said that because they're good. But now everyone's all right, let's be real. UConn's about to win this damn thing. Alabama, who has shut down everyone in this tournament, right when North Carolina was getting a little hype, shut them down. Clemson shut them down. Can they shut down UConn? 13-5 in the SEC during the regular season, but they were 1-and-done during the tournament. But now they're hot. They're a hot team. And the question is, are they good enough? Because they're flawed. They're a flawed little team. They're not the most perfect team, but they have pieces. And are those pieces good enough to beat UConn? Or are we just seeing a hot team that's cooled off now? Who needs to show up, in my opinion? Mark Sears. The man's averaging 21 points per game, about 4 rebounds. He put up 23 versus Clemson, 18 versus North Carolina, 26 versus Grand Canyon, and then 30 versus Charleston. The man has been putting up some points. And that's the thing. If you want to compete with UConn, you got to score. Let's look at UConn. I talked about this just earlier. 77-52, 82-52, 75-58. You have to put up points if you want to beat UConn. I think if you even want to compete with UConn, you got to put up at least 60. And I think if Mark Sears can show up, putting up 23, 26, 30, he needs to put up at least 25 himself. I think the team needs to put up 60. Sears needs to put up at least 25. If I'm me, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm taking a prop bet. I'm taking Mark Sears, I don't know, fucking plus 25. I don't know, something like along the line of he's scoring. I think if they want to beat UConn, they need that little March Madness miracle to show up. And that's going to be the South Dakota native Grant Nelson, the forward Grant Nelson, only averaging 5 points a game. You look at his stats like overall during the season, kind of cold. He had 7 rebounds against Clemson. He was a scoring machine versus North Carolina with 24 points. He just shows up when they needed him during the tournament. He's not necessarily a weapon. I wouldn't say he's going to be a weapon during the game. He could be. Imagine he shows up and drops 15. Imagine you get Mark Sears to drop 25. You can compete. You just need the pieces. They have the pieces. It's not perfect. I'm not saying Alabama is going to win. I mean, I'm going to root for Alabama. Let me take that back. I'm very much a UConn hater. I fucking hate UConn. I don't know what it is about their ugly ass center and their ugly ass white boy that helps them out. I don't like UConn, but I'm very much an anti-UConn fan. As much as I don't love Alabama, I mean, they are murderers. Their head coach is a piece of shit. I very much hate UConn. So give me Alabama by like a miracle. March Madness crazy. Give me Alabama. NC State and Purdue. The battle of big men, as I like to call it. You got two schools with two athletes that are taking over the nation right now. Purdue has that all-star athlete, Zach Edey. We all know Zach Edey. You can't mistake Zach Edey. My favorite thing that was going on this weekend was the video of Zach Edey going into a restroom at some apartment party. He was at a party. The video of Zach Edey at a party, and he's going into the restroom with a girl. And the comments defending my boy Zach Edey, saying that could be anybody. You have no proof that Zach Edey. Couldn't be him. The man's 7. The man's a little Yao Ming. I've been saying that since like last year. Don't know if that's offensive. I mean, no offense by that whatsoever, but give me a side by side. 7'2", 7'4". Come on. Little Yao Ming. And he's a monster. I mean that in a compliment. He made me a Purdue fan, though. I said it. I've been saying it. Go back. Reroll the tape. I said I was a Purdue fan. And I'll stick to that. I love Zach Edey, though. 2021 All-Star Athlete Award. The Woodson Award. Wooden Award? Whatever the fuck it's called. The All-Star Athlete Award. He won it last year, all right? 2020, whatever. Last year. He's going to win it again this year. He's a monster. But let's give credit to his little assistant, his little Robin, Brandon Smith. 7.5 points or assists per game. He has been feeding Zach Edey this tournament. Purdue looks unstoppable. Purdue looks like that team that, I mean, I'm saying this because every year I say Purdue looks, like last year I said Purdue going in the tournament looked great, amazing, one and done. But Purdue looks like they're clicking and everything's clicking now. There's no more errors. And they know they fuck up here. They're done. Zach Edey's done after this. And like, I don't know. North Carolina State, though, can beat Purdue. That's what I want to say. How are you going to shut down Purdue? How are you going to shut down their big man? Match them with another big man. Match Edey with my boy, DJ Burns. DJ Burns, you guys know I've been on NC State since the ACC tournament. And since they had that miracle run, I said, watch them go far. I had them in my tournament going to the Sweet 16. Didn't think they would go this far. But people aren't giving NC State the credit because of how shitty their regular season was. All right, all right. But they worked it out, all right? Nobody starts off polished. They're looking great now. Everyone's, like, hyping up DJ Burns. While technically not a center, he's been playing the big man role really well for the Wolfpack. Teams can't stop him. It's hard to defend him. He had 29 points versus Duke, 24 points versus Oakland, 16 versus Texas Tech. People are questioning, what if Purdue can shut down DJ Burns? Because essentially, if you're like Marquette, you had to shut down Burns. But even after that, you got shut up by everybody else. You shut down DJ Burns. Oh, guess what? Another DJ is coming around. DJ Horn, 16 points versus Texas Tech. 11 points and 6 rebounds versus Oakland. 19 points and 5 rebounds versus Marquette. 20 points versus Duke. You have the weapons. Oh, no. I say every good team has one good white boy. Oh, no, they don't have the good white boy. Shut your mouth. Michael O'Connell, 11 rebounds last game. They have the pieces. They have the tall white boy. They have the big center. They have the big man. They have the shooters. They're hot. They have the momentum. They're what, on a nine-game win streak in the last like 20 days? It's insane. Give these men some credit. Purdue, it will Purdue. Purdue can Purdue. Arizona. Will Purdue? It could happen tonight. Or not tonight. It could happen this weekend. I love Purdue, and I think if Purdue wins here, they win it all. Don't know if they're going to win, though. DJ Burns is kind of scary. Can Bama and NC State get the upset, though? Highly doubt it. One of them. I'll give it to one of them. I doubt we can get two upsets. You're going to get at least UConn or Purdue. I really don't want UConn. I would really much rather have Purdue versus Bama. I really don't want UConn and Purdue. I feel like UConn would just destroy Purdue. As much as I hate to admit it, I think if you shut down Zach Edey, and I think UConn can shut down Zach Edey. I want UConn to get upset. But someone's got to get upset this weekend, right? There's no way you get a top two versus a top two. Right? There's no way we go back-to-back, right? That's Final Four for you? That's the Final Four, yeah. That's basketball talk. When in my right mind have I ever started with basketball talk and gone almost the whole half episode talking about women's and men's college basketball? Who do I think I am? I've been watching a lot of baseball. I've been trying to watch at least 100 games this season. I've watched 5 of like, 7 or 8 for both Astros and the Rockies. I've watched 2 Astros games, and I've watched 5 Rockies games. But like, I've watched the Astros games on the same day. I don't count like 7 games. I'm counting days, 100 days of watching baseball. So I've watched 5 days of baseball. The Astros look shitty against the Yankees. I'm going to just say the Yankees are starting off good. I'm not going to say anything about the Astros. I'm not going to say anything about how we don't have any middle relief pitchers or how our, like, batting could use some work. But they're looking all right, all right? That no-hitter was hella impressive. Look, the Astros are going to Astros. Nobody's perfect. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. The no-hitter was hell on his fifth game ever, his fifth major league appearance ever. Throws a no-hitter. Isn't that crazy? The Rockies, on the other hand, pitching, I wish I could see a Rockies no-hitter. The things I would do to see a Rockies no-hitter. You have a better chance of winning the World Series before you see a Rockies no-hitter. Kyle Freeland, 27 ERA after 2 games. He threw like 3.6 innings the other day. The first game, 10 or 14 runs. He threw, here, let's pull up the stats. Why am I just throwing shit out there? He has a 27 ERA, though. And why is he in our pitching rotation? And I don't know shit. I probably don't know shit. But a 27 ERA after two games. He pitched 3.1 innings on Tuesday. I watched this game. Gave up 7 runs in 3 innings. On last Thursday, opening day in 2 innings, gave up 10 runs. How do you... Blackman's looking all right. Blackman's getting some hits. Nolan Jones, he gave up that error. I think it was game 2 that fucked up the whole game. The only scoring that happened was on that error. I know the Rockies are the Rockies, and I shouldn't expect a lot from them, but, bro, they're just a mess all over. I don't know what's going on. It's making me a little ashamed, I will be honest. They currently sitting at 1-6? Yeah, we're currently sitting at 1-6. Lost last night, 8-9 to the Cubs. They kind of had a little fight in them. They were kind of swinging for the fences. I tweeted the other day, what was it, game 1 against the Rockies, or against the Cubs, first pitch off the bat, Charles Blackman did a bunt, and then the next pitch, it was a double play, so it didn't really matter. The aggressiveness, they got shut out game 1. Game 2 was just an embarrassment. They got the Rays on Friday, the weekend series. Finally home opener series against the Rays. That's exciting. I don't know, man. I don't know. I know it's early, but the Rays are 3-4. We're 1-6. We might not beat the Cubs tonight. I'm sorry. We lost to the Cubs last night. We might not beat the Rays. Any games. I don't know. It's a mess. It's hard being a Rockies fan. That's baseball. The Astros. I love the Astros. It's nice having the Astros and the Rockies. Like, the best team and the worst team. Didn't do that on purpose. It's just kind of how it is. It is what it is. The Astros play the Rangers this week in Dallas. The Rangers starting off 4-2. The Astros are 2-5. Beat the Blue Jays on Wednesday 8-0. Split the series with them 1-1 after losing on Tuesday 2-1. Yeah, they play the Rangers. Again, it's early, dude. It's so early. What am I supposed to talk about? What is there to talk about right now in the MLB? It is so early. Shohei Ohtani, oh, the betting shit? Shohei? Yeah, he's definitely gambling, but the MLB doesn't care. How can the MLB have their star, their Pookie Bear Shohei? They can't let Shohei get in trouble. Come on now. We're gonna forget about this in like a month. Verlander's on rehab. He should be coming back soon. Yeah, that was MLB talk. That wasn't much. I know it wasn't much. Again, it's so early in the season. There's 162 games. Calm down, guys. The Texans are looking mighty, 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 mighty impressive. They traded a second round and maybe a couple other picks for Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, drama queen Stephon Diggs. I'm kidding. I love Stephon. I'm excited. I really like Stephon. They're going to be so good on Madden. Can I just say that right now? Sketch, if you're listening. Dude, Houston's going to be unstoppable on Madden. CJ Stroud at QB. Sitting behind him is going to be Joe Mixon at running back 1. Damian Pierce at running back 2. You want to get even more into it? Noah Beck at our fullback position. Oh, no. What are you going to do about the tackle? Laremy Tunsil, pussy. Then we got that really good guy at center. That rookie. I don't know his name off the top of my head. Wide receiver 1, Stephon Diggs. Wide receiver 2, it's Tank Dell. Wide receiver 3, Noah Brown. I don't know if I said Noah Brown for fullback, but that's Noah Beck. That's what I meant to say for fullback. Noah Beck. Tight end. We got the white boy. Again, every good team has one white guy. Dalton Schultz is that one white guy. The offense looks amazing. The offense looks young, though. That's the scary thing. They are young. They look expensive in the future. They look futurely expensive. As of right now, I'm going to gloat. Bask in the glory is what I meant to say. Is it too early to get excited? Yeah, probably. Probably way too early to get excited. Am I going to get excited? You fucking bet your ass off. We're going to Super Bowl. We're winning the AFC South for sure. The defense, Will Anderson Jr., Hunter Daniil, both ends. You got Petrie, Stingley in the secondary. We still have Ward, I think. Look, there's talent, man. They're young. The team's young. Let them cook. And that was Texans talk. I want to get to the end, the back half of this episode. Buckle in. Give y'all a second to buckle in. Because we're talking WrestleMania. And we're breaking down the card. I know it's goofy. I know it seems like I pushed through all the other segments, but I really wanted to get to this because it's WrestleMania weekend. What the hell do you expect? A little bit about me and my WrestleMania fandom. My favorite WrestleMania? That's a hard one. We'll come back to that one. Let's look at the card. Two nights at Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. They revealed the card the other day, and I haven't looked at the full thing. I'll read off night one, and then I will go back and read off. I'll read off night one, and then we'll break it down. And then I'll go back, read off night two, break it down. Night one, starting with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. So you got the Mysterio son, father fighting each other. With some help, I guess. This three late damage control versus Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. We'll get to that. The six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Judgment Day, Awesome Truth, DIY, New Day, New Catch Republic, and then A-Town Down Under. Jimmy and Jay Uso will be fighting one-on-one. And then we have Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther versus Sami Zayn, followed by the Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. And then night one will end with the tag team main event, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, with some stipulations that will affect night two. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Let's start with that one. I don't know the lore behind it. I don't really care to know the lore behind it. I love that Rey Mysterio. I'm hoping this is his retirement match, because I don't really know what he's still doing. Like, why is he still wrestling? What is there, like, unless he's getting a push on the belt, what are we doing with him? What are we making him a jobber? The man's 55. I think he is, like, realistically taking Dragon Lee under his, like, wing and, like, actually teaching him a couple things. So it would be cool to see him passing down the luchador vibe to Dragon Lee. But he's already a Hall of Famer. They've crossed paths here and there. I don't really understand the Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio tagging up part. I think Santos attacked Dominic, and then Dominic's just like, yo, yeah, that's cool. Like, I don't know. This one seems like we needed to give Rey and Dom a match. Hopefully it's Rey's last match. Give me Rey and Dragon Lee. I could give two shits about this match, though. This one's going to be like the sitting down, cracking open a beer, settling in, maybe not really paying attention, getting ready. I don't know. If this is like on the first card, is this not like a kickoff show? If this is just straight up, what a weak start. It's talking about and keeping it going with weak starts. Bianca Belair, Naomi, Jade Cargill versus Damage Control. 100% is just a match to get to, like, show off these people. And I'm not hating. It's just like Damage Control. They're going to get smushed. This is a squash match in a fucking WrestleMania. You give me a squash. What is a squash match? Squash.
Squitch. You give me a quick match? You give me a quick match in a WrestleMania? No shit, Bianca, Naomi, and Jade are going to win. Nobody wants to see Dakota, Asuka, and like, nobody wants to see them bury these three people that you have been building up and you balled out. And Naomi. Nobody wants to see that. That one is a piss match. That one's, I'm going to go take a piss. Maybe go tweet some tweets. Piss some people off online. But I'll come back. I'll come back in time for this one. The six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. All four belts will be hung up there. You have six teams. I think Michael Cole emphasized it on a Raw. I think it was last Raw. The match isn't over until all four belts are redeemed. Way to give it away. It's kind of hinting at, hey, dumb fucks. Sorry. Kind of hinting at, that was so unnecessary. It's kind of hinting at, hey, dummies. We're going to split these belts up. And I'm hoping, because nobody wants them to keep the combined belts. I'm hoping that they're smart and Triple H is like, restart, boop, boop, boop. Let's split these belts up. Let's do what the fans want and split them up. You can keep one on Judgment Day. Or how about this? Don't. And give Finn Balor the push he deserves. And give Damian Pierce the little gay bisexual Undertaker the push he deserves. How about we do that? But if you give one, let's say you give one to Judgment Day. There's so many opportunities. Don't give it to New Catch Republic. That sounds like at a restaurant I have to make a reservation for. Hello, thank you for calling New Catch Republic. How can I help you? This is Pete Dunne. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I'd like to make a reservation for two. New Catch Republic. The special of the day is salmon on a bed of rice with a lemon zest. And then, of course, the dessert is apple pie. I don't know. What's a fancy dessert? A-Town Down Under. A-Town Down Under. I don't really understand them. They're playing heel pretty well. They're messing around with Joey Swoles from TikTok. Maybe they're cool with the kids. I don't know. Maybe I'm not in the times of understanding them. Awesome Truth, I like. Two old guys that deserve one more little push. I'm hoping they win the belts because I think they're fan favorites. It would be cool to see them get the belt. DIY, they're young guys who deserve the belt, who have been popular for a while, and everyone's been saying they deserve some type of push. Also, would be good to see them. New Day. If they win it, I don't know, man. I guess give it to them. I guess. Jimmy and Jey Uso. Oh, that one. I don't really care who wins it. Give me Damian and Finn and then Miz and R-Truth. Awesome Truth and Judgment Day. I don't give it. It's a weak start. I really don't care about any of these first three matches. This one is cool. Jimmy and Jey is a cool match. Have we seen it before? Probably. I don't. It has something to do with Night 2. The storyline has something to do with Night 2. It has to. That's why I'm interested. I could really give two hoots about who wins. I think Jey loses. I think Jey being the popular one, I think Jimmy wins to give him a push. Give him that push that I think he deserves. I think Jey if Jey wins, though, like, it's not too surprised. I think Jey losing would be the bigger surprise. Bigger surprise that's still safe, you know. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch for the world champion, women's world championship. Rhea Ripley should obviously win this one. Becky Lynch is the veteran, though, the dog, the man, Becky Lynch. I like Becky Lynch. I do. I like her a lot. I like her character a lot. But mommy is mommy, and that is that. I think Rhea Ripley wins. But if Becky Lynch wins, who's going to be upset if Becky wins? She does deserve it. She's had a great push since she's came back. She's a mother. Mommy is mommy, but Becky Lynch is actually a mommy. So Becky Lynch should win that one. The Rock and Roman versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, the main event for night one. Dude, what are we doing here? We just want to give The Rock a match. That's all it is. And probably someone turns on somebody. I don't know what's going to happen with this bloodline storyline.
and I want to figure it out. That's all it is. I don't know what's going to go out, what's going to go down. I'm trying to figure that out with the rest of y'all. I'm really hoping The Rock and Roman win, just so you can get the bloodline stipulation for night two, and then you can have a bunch of people. We'll get there. But I'm going to assume The Rock and Roman win, because how dare they have Roman Reigns lose two nights in a row? Wink, wink. He can only lose once. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins end up losing that one. They're beaten and bruised going into night two. Night two, another dumbass match. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. That has to be an opening match. That has to be like a kickoff match. LA Knight and AJ Styles is the first real match we'll talk about. And that one I'm excited about. That one, LA Knight deserved a title. He deserves, that one should be for the US belt. Let's be real. But it's not, because you have it on dumbass Logan Paul, who's going to be taking on Randy Orton, and who's going to be taking on Kevin Owens in a triple threat United States match, followed by a women's championship match, Io Sky versus Bayley, and then the World Heavyweight Championship match, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, before you get the Universal Championship match, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. LA Knight and AJ Styles, I think AJ Styles is the better athlete. I think AJ Styles will win, just to kind of put him over as a heel. I think LA Knight will take the face card. I think LA Knight will bounce back. And it's just one WrestleMania loss to come back next year and win at WrestleMania in a big match. Foreshadowing. The triple threat match, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. Logan Paul pisses me off, and that he's doing his job. And I get it. That's good. He should be pissing me off. He's playing a really good heel. But it, like, what the hell, bro? What are you doing in the Elimination Chamber? And you knocked out Randy? And that was so cheesy. Ugh. And it's wrestling, and he did his job. I give him credit. I hate Logan Paul, but he's good. He's good at what he's doing. Give him credit. Kevin Owens is just a dog. The man is just a workhorse. And I really do respect him, and he does deserve this match. He's not winning. He just deserves a WrestleMania match. He's not going to get pinned either. I think Logan Paul gets pinned by Randy Orton. And I think this is Randy Orton's last little title match, or title run. I think Kevin Owens, there's no way Kevin Owens gets pinned at WrestleMania. He doesn't deserve it. What did he do? I think Randy Orton wins. I think this is Randy Orton's comeback. Yes, Randy. You're going to have a bunch of randoms watching this match because it's Logan Paul and Randy Orton. You know what I mean? Like, a bunch of first-timers, a bunch of casuals are going to be watching that match because it's Logan Paul and Randy Orton. And I think Randy Orton will win and Logan Paul will lose, and it'll be a big deal. It'll be big talked about on social media. That one I feel like is a social media, like, worthy match. Io Sky and Bayley, I don't know. Bayley's going to win this one, because why the hell is Io Sky still champion? The most boring women's champion in the longest time, in my opinion. Talented, but there's no, like, there's no spark. There's nothing interesting to Io Sky. Bayley, though, has had a hell of a run. Royal Rumble winner. The heel turn, the turning on everybody shit. It works. I like it. Used to be, if you know Bayley, like OG Bayley to now, this is a really good character flip. Face to heel change, and I respect it. I think Bayley deserves a WrestleMania moment. Before, I think this one, I don't know what's going to be first, but Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, whether that's the match before the main event or not, Seth Rollins, the champion, Drew McIntyre, I don't know. This one, I definitely don't know. Because Seth Rollins is a better champion. I love Seth Rollins as champion, but everyone's kind of tired of it. But Drew would set up for more stories. Who's he going to fight at Clash of the Castle? Who's he going to fight at SummerSlam? Who's going to go into SummerSlam champion? You know, like, what happens with Drew? I think you open up more opportunities to stories. So I think Drew wins it. But I don't think Seth gets pinned. I think Damian fucks up and tries to pull a Seth moment, and Drew pins Damian. So you get a setup, I don't know, something eventually. You keep him around. You just keep, you're going to keep Seth Rollins around without having him lose and get buried, you know? The Undisputed Universal Championship match. This match is going on for an hour tops. I guarantee this is an hour long match. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, the sequel. We've been waiting on it. Tribal Chief, throw your ones up. Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is Cody Rhodes, you know? Like, love him. It's the dog. It's the American Nightmare. Finish the story versus the Tribal Chief. The Bloodline. Dude, so much is going to happen. I don't want to be the dumbass that predicts a bunch of nothing. But people are coming back. Somebody's interfering with that match. You know the Bloodline's going to interfere. That's what they do. But who's going to defend Cody? I'm tired of this MJF bullshit. MJF isn't coming back. Maybe CM Punk. Maybe Stone Cold. John Cena. The Undertaker. Ugly ass. Just start pulling off everybody. The Hulk Hogan. Vince McMahon comes back. That'd be crazy. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this match. I'm not going to predict what happens. I'm just going to predict that Cody Rhodes ends the streak. There's no way, dude. There's no way. There's no way he's going to walk out of here and still champion. There's no way Roman walks out of here champion. So then what? You're going to set up next year's WrestleMania? You're going to make us wait another year with this man as champion? Get out of here. Get out of here. Give me Cody. There's no way. I'm getting so mad. There's no way he's going to win again. I don't know who's coming back, though. There's too many opportunities. There's too many. The story is wide open. And I've heard the story has also been changed like 50 billion times. So they don't even know what's going to happen. I guarantee the ending isn't even written. The ending is going to be changed hours before we see the entrances, you know, before the bell rings. Like, simply hours before the bell rings, we're going to get the final cut. And that's what is crazy to me. You need to watch wrestling. If you don't, even if you're not a wrestling fan, tune in this weekend. It's on Peacock. You all have Peacock. Even if you don't know you have Peacock, you're low-key paying for it because you forgot to cancel years ago. And it's only like $5 a month, so you don't really notice a big difference in your bank account every month. You have Peacock. Go watch it. That's my preview. Really shitty 20-minute preview about what's going to happen this weekend. That's what's going on in sports. Next week, we'll come back. We'll talk some draft, obviously. We'll recap WrestleMania, obviously. Don't forget to like and subscribe on the whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast. I feel like people are just tired of podcasts. But, dude, I'm trying to get some guests on this bitch. I'm trying to get you guys on this pod. If you want to have your voice heard, email, DM me, send me your takes at JabroniKev on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. DM me your takes. I'll read them out. Tweet me your takes. I'll read them. X me your takes. Post me your takes. I don't know what they say now. That's not Twitter. Facebook at Gridiron Jabroni. You can find my TikTok at Gridiron Jabroni or Jabroni Kev at Jabroni Kev on all platforms. That's episode 16, guys. All
playoffs. I really have. Let's talk about playoffs.
Yeah. I see you on the next one. Happy WrestleMania. Happy
playoffs. Playoffs.
Here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.